please remain standing, and would you pray for me that I can preach this morning? Lord, bring your present word now for this people right now that are gathered here. Lord, bring a fresh word from your throne room to your flock. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Father Ben, do you want to get that door? Well, Paul's letter to the Philippians that we just heard read this morning by Kevin is a good word for Christians living in a troubled world today. We are definitely living in troubled times. 2020 just keeps piling on. 2020 keeps piling on. We are troubled. We're troubled by the pandemic. We're troubled by the lockdowns, the loss of employment, economic uncertainty. We're troubled by being reminded of the reality of racial prejudice and hatred. We're troubled by a resurgent Marxism and anarchism and violent mobs and riots. We're troubled by intemperate and immoderate political leadership. That's just fancy talk for leaders who cannot control their emotions and behavior in public. We're troubled by a spirit of intolerance embodied in social media mobs and adopted by high-tech censors. And we're troubled by the growing hostility of influencers and institutions against Orthodox Christian faith in this country. And then we can add on to these public anxieties our own experiences with sickness and broken relationships and grief and the sense of isolation. We really, really need to hear those words from Philippians chapter 4 this morning. Here's the context, by the way. Paul, when he writes those words you heard today, Paul is sitting in a prison for the gospel. He's sitting in prison for proclaiming the gospel. He is awaiting possible execution as he pens this letter. And Paul writes to a church which is itself facing opposition in its own context. It's opposition, experiencing opposition and persecution from its pagan neighbors. Listen to this from Philippians 1, the first chapter, Paul gives us that context, chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. For it has been granted to you, speaking to the Philippians, for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So listen with that context in mind. Listen again to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to all people, everyone. The Lord is at hand. So Paul is in prison. The Philippian church is suffering genuine persecution. And what does he say to them? Rejoice in the Lord. And because he knows that they probably didn't think he really said that, he said, let me say it again. Rejoice. He repeats himself. It's so incongruous, he has to say it more than once. Here's the application for us, okay? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Here's the application. Notice that Paul did not say, rejoice in your circumstances. He didn't just say, suck it up and rejoice when life is horrible. He didn't say, Hakuna Matata. No, he said, rejoice in the Lord, because we can rejoice because in our Lord Jesus Christ, because he loves us and he will be faithful to us regardless of our circumstances. Church, that's for you today in 2020. Last year, after spending time with the Lord in prayer, I'd go on prayer hikes, try to every week. I haven't lately. Obviously, I've been winged. Shot down in combat. But when I am recuperated, I'll be back on the trail again. And that's where I really hear the Lord speak. And I ask, you know, Lord, where are you leading Christ Church in 2020? This is back in 2019. And so I felt like I heard a word, and I went back to our lay leadership, and I conferred with them. And so I announced in 2019 that the 2020 theme for Christ Church would be resting in and enjoying God's favor. And you might say, well, you sure heard God wrong. But beloved, you know what? We have seen God's favor in 2020. We have rested in God's favor. We've seen it in our personal lives. And some of it, even though I do feel like, you know, we are being chastised at this moment in the West with this horrible pandemic, I think that it's a call to repentance. But I've also seen God use this difficult time for blessing in my own personal life. There have been a number of things that happened that were direct answers to prayer that would not have happened if the Lord had not visited this pestilence among us. Lisa lost her job earlier this year, and I thought that was a real bad thing. That's kind of like, okay, here goes 2020. But it turns out that God is still meeting our needs, and now she has much more time for ministry, and I have much more time for ministry because she's there to help me in what we do together in serving the Lord. It's been a wonderful blessing. But we've seen God's favor as a church as well. We're growing. This is so counterintuitive. We are growing numerically in the midst of a pandemic. Rejoice in the Lord, y'all. That's amazing. Everybody else is like saying the wheels are falling off, and yet we're resting in and enjoying God's favor. Our finances are as strong as they have ever been because God's faithfulness in the demonstration of radical generosity from God's people in this church. Rejoice in the Lord. He is blessing us. Earlier this year, many churches took the payroll protection plan loans offered by the government because of the pandemic. I was open to this idea because it was free money. But your lay leadership was firm in refusing to accept that money from the government, because they were counting on God's faithfulness, and they were right. We can rejoice in the Lord. And I would add this to our theme. I would add this verse from Psalm 31, 21. It's been on my mind a lot these days. Psalm 31, verse 21. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city. We are living in a besieged time, and God has shown his wondrous, faithful, steadfast, loving kindness raining down on this church. Thank you, God. We rejoice in you, Lord, because you are larger than our circumstances. Paul then encourages this struggling and troubled church to let their, I love this word, reasonableness be known to everyone, not just to those, not just to each other, but to everyone beyond the four walls of the church. This is vital because this word, which is very difficult to translate into English, it has so many meanings that are just sweet and good. It could also be translated graciousness, moderation, let your moderation be known to all men, gentleness, I like this, magnanimity. Magnanimity. Jesus, give me some magnanimity. Fair-mindedness. Now, if you are like me, just hearing some of those qualities is like water to your thirsty soul. We are surrounded everywhere by shrill, extreme, harsh, irrational, and unreasonable rhetoric everywhere right now. And the temptation for us when we are pushed or pressured or suffering is to lash out. That's what that church was experiencing. Paul says, in a world where civility and graciousness are in short supply, and I can't believe I'm living to experience this and say this, but Paul is saying to this world where civility and graciousness are not abounding, that the church is the voice of reason. We are the voice of reason. We are to embody what one translator called sweet reasonableness. Sweet reasonableness. Now, how can we even do that? I mean, what would motivate our reasonableness, our graciousness, our forbearance in the present circumstance? Paul gives the answer right away. He says, let your moderation be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. This means two things. First of all, it means precisely that the Lord is near to us. He is near right now. No matter how bad 2020 gets, he is near. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, fear not, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. You might say, I think I've sung those words before. That's right, how firm a foundation comes right from this. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Lord is near. Jesus said, very last thing before he ascended to the Father's right hand, Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, and behold, I'm with you sometimes. No. He said, behold, I am with you always. Always means always to the end of the age. Is Jesus with us in 2020? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I love what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Amen. Those are words to live by right now. Secondly, this phrase, the Lord is at hand, is encouragement that the Lord's return is imminent. Jesus is coming soon. So we know it's at least sooner than it was 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote this. It's real imminent now. Jesus is coming soon. We don't have to get worked up. We don't have to get overwrought because the Lord will soon return and will establish his just, righteous, and peaceable kingdom. Wickedness will be judged, and faithfulness to Christ will bring the eternal fruit of blessedness. Revelation 22, verse 12, behold, Jesus says, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. Maranatha. So many of us are fearful and worried right now. But Paul, who is in prison with the threat of execution hanging over him, gives this counsel to his readers in the Philippian church. Verse 6, Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will garrison, like a battalion of the 82nd Airborne Division, will guard, garrison your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, anxiety and worry are at a mental health crisis level in this country right now. But church, dear church, listen, we aren't those people. We are not those people. We are not a hopeless people. We are not a fearful people. We are a praying people. We have a living God who loves to, God loves when we pray. So oftentimes we think, I'll be bothering him. It's like God, it's not like going to the emergency department and having to wait to be seen, y'all. He's not that big, he's God. He's got everything in control. He loves to hear our prayers, and he loves to answer our prayers. So if you are anxious about the election, or about the pandemic, or about the economy, or about religious liberty, or about your unsaved children or loved ones, let me tell you good news, brothers and sisters. Supernatural peace is your birthright. Birthright. It belongs to you as a child of God, as a born-again, baptized follower of Jesus Christ. Supernatural peace, no matter what comes, is your birthright. So let every worry be your prompt to prayer. When the devil brings worry to you, take that stick away from him and beat him with it. Just say, oh, thank you for reminding me how worried I should be. Now I'm going to pray. Take that. Pray until you have peace. Just pray until you have peace. It is your birthright. Let me tell you a story. I've been waiting all week to say this name. Alexander Ogorodnikov. Let me say it even better. Alexander Ogorodnikov. It's probably horrible actual Russian pronunciation, but it's fun to do. He was a Christian dissident whose faithfulness to Jesus Christ resulted in him being imprisoned and tortured in the former Soviet Union in 1978. He survived that travail with his body bearing the scars, but his faith remains vibrant and alive and free to this day. Rod Dreher recently interviewed him in Moscow for Dreher's new book, Live Not by Lies. And so in that book, we read this. When they put me in the cell with the other inmates, I said, "Peace be with you." Ogorodnikov remembers, and one of the prisoners asked if I was a Christian. I said, "Yes." He told me to prove it. Another inmate said, "We are the scum of the earth. We don't even have cigarettes. If your God will give us cigarettes, we'll all believe in him." Ogorodnikov told his fellow prisoners that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and smoking fouls it. But he continued, "God loves you so much that I believe he would even give you cigarettes as a sign of his mercy." Ogorodnikov asked them all to stand and pray together for this. Everybody laughed, but stood respectfully, and he led in prayer. He says that that cell was very crowded, but it became very quiet. We prayed for 15 minutes, then I told them the prayer was over and they could sit down. At just that moment, the guards opened the cell door and threw a bunch of cigarettes into the cell. "That really happened?" I asked, astonished. "That really happened," he answered. It was incredible. There was the sign I had prayed for. The prisoner shouted, "God exists! He exists! God exists!" And that is when I knew that God was speaking to me too. He was telling me that he had a mission for me here in the prison. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." It's a promise, even in a Soviet prison. So are you troubled, Christian? Let me ask you then, if you're troubled, let me ask you, with what are you filling your mind? What are you filling your mind with? Are you feeding your mind with fear and violence and hatred? Garbage in, garbage out? Well, listen to what Paul says in verse 8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Think about these things. So I'm not telling you this morning to be uninformed, all right? But if you spend more time consuming news, reading inflammatory and hysterical social media rants than you do rejoicing in the Lord, or praying, or giving thanks, or consuming the Word of God, you are guaranteed to be fearful and anxious. Garbage in, garbage out. So let's turn a few of those qualities that Paul lifts up in that passage into questions about your thought life and my thought life right this minute. What are we dwelling on? Listen, think about it. Is it true? So whatever is true. Have you noticed that we will lap up false witness against those figures that we just hate? We'll lap up false witness. Is it true? We lap up false witness against those public figures we hate, like pigs in slop. Is it true? Is it honorable? Is it just? Listen, is it pure? Are you filling your mind with what is pure? Really pure? Is it lovely? Is it worthy of praise? So yes, brothers and sisters, fill your minds with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. But also do this. Look for the true and the good and the beautiful everywhere. Why? Well, we are so willing to fill our minds with the ugliness that we see all around us. We are so willing to just drink up, fill our minds with the ugliness all around us. Then why in the name of God shouldn't we be equally willing and able to fill our minds with the beauty of God that shines out everywhere by His common grace, His goodness? Every leaf that's turning this fall is a sign of God's beauty. Every cool breeze, you know, that tells you that autumn is really here, is a sign of God's beauty. Laughing children, I mean, you know, I could just loop baby laughs, you know, and just listen to a loop of baby laughter is a sign of God's beauty. Fill your mind with beauty. Yes, search the Scriptures. Rest in the Word of God. But it's not just limited between the covers of your Bible. God is God and He's everywhere. He's not limited at no time. You can't get away from Him. Nowhere, no matter where you get or how ugly it becomes, there's still the beauty of God breaking through somewhere. Can I tell you something personal? It's one of the most, I'm going to anyway, so, you know, one of the most spiritually transformational events for me in the last 2 months was the week that I unplugged from the news and I immersed myself in two beautiful works of literature that were just so true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable, and so I commend them to you. It was, well, they weren't sappy, preachy Christian books. You know, it wasn't Amish romance novels. Sorry for all the Amish romance novel people that are reading those that I just alienated. No, these were works of literature, books written by a Christian iconographer who's an artist. Actually, he draws a lot from classical Christian iconography, but he's quite a modern artist. Michael D. O'Brien. I can't do those books justice. But these books, listen, I read those books. I was reading my Bible in the morning. I was praying the Psalms. But as I read those books, and I was just pulled into the beauty of them. And they made me, those books, that Christian author made me love Jesus more. He made me love you more. He made me want to be more courageous. Really, He made me want to be more courageous. They transported me out of my worries into God's truth. I cannot do them justice. You will have to read them for yourselves. But I want to just read you a little bit of this. I went back yesterday. Obviously, reading this passage, I've read the whole book. It means a lot more to me than it will to you. But I was just shaking with joy, actually weeping for joy yesterday as I read these words again. And I want you to just listen to the beauty of them. They are good and true and beautiful. The main character in this book is Father Elijah. He is an elderly Jewish follower of Jesus, and he has been made a bishop. He's a Holocaust survivor. And as a bishop, he has been sent on a special mission at the end of his life. And just before this mission places him in great physical and spiritual danger, he is at a house in the countryside in Israel that brings together Christian Palestinians and Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles all together in this one house of peace as a witness to the truth and beauty and goodness of Jesus Christ. And one evening after dinner, the community gathers for music and dancing in the common dining room, in the refectory. And this is where we pick up that story. Perhaps because of the accumulated joy in the room, or the ridiculousness, or perhaps a little influenced by the wine, Elijah got up from his observation post and walked among the dancers. He gave no forethought to this. He simply did it. An island in the streams running past him. He closed his eyes and remembered a little dancing boy in a city long ago and far away, just before night fell on the world. He raised his arms and began to sing a Yiddish song that no one around him could hear. Moving with the rhythm of that song, his body revolved slowly and his arms swayed like cypresses in the wind. His childhood trove of memories opened, catching snowflakes on his tongue in Sashki Gardens, reaching for a summer star as if he could pluck it and save it and love it and keep it. And then he was lifted in his father's arms, and a crowd of dancing men lifted high above their heads, and he was a bird. And then he was 13, dancing at his bar mitzvah. And finally, Ruth was dancing with him on the day of their marriage, and their love was stronger than death. All of these blended in to one timeless moment, and he let it take him. Now he saw a cloud of witnesses above him, praying for those who danced below. And he saw the guardian angels too, dancing with them. And because they were beyond time, they were also dancing for him during the long, desolate years when he could not. And he saw that what he had lost was not gone forever. For he danced in a single unity of past and present and future, a stream in the great river flowing from paradise. Think on these things. Whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is worthy of praise. And rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.